Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support the Father's Day by going to thefathersday.tv/donate or to Locals. Just click on the link in the description to support us there on locals.com. And thank you all in advance. I have with me a guest today that I can't even believe he's here. I've watched him for a long time on TV, and you never think for 1 minute he will end up on your stage. Tommy Chong. And Tommy is a Grammy-nominated musician, actor, and comedian, best known for his part in the Cheech and Chong. Welcome, man.
Thank you.
I can't believe you're here.
I can't believe it either.
I see you got on TV so much. It was so funny. And I didn't grow up thinking one day I'm going to interview him. I'm glad you're here.
There's a lot of surprises in this world, isn't
there? It is. There are many.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I was just commenting on your studio. It's real sweet, real nice.
Yeah, it's nice and simple. And
yeah.
We got a lot done.
Yeah, but I heard you had a designer do it, but that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Get the artist, get the
And he wasn't
pro.
He wasn't like a professional designer. He just happened to be working for me, and he knew how to make. He designed it. He changed the whole building, to be honest. He was a young guy.
That's
what he's doing.
Sound like country and a relative.
So, what's important to you?
What's important to me?
Yes.
What's important to me? Good health. Yeah. Good health. And abundance. I like a flow of income.
Nice.
I like that income flow coming in.
Right.
Yeah, because I found out you can do more with money than without money. You know?
We definitely need it, that's for sure. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so you were telling us, you're from Canada, right?
Originally. Yeah.
And from Canada. What's the difference between Canada and America? What kept you here?
Population more than anything.
Oh.
See, all the population and the good weather and the opportunity is down here in the States.
Right.
And Canada is a good place to be from. but for me, it got too cold in the winter. And,
oh, yeah.
I grew up in Alberta, Canada, you know, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And although it works in my favor now, it was a very segregated, sort of like a prejudiced area, especially
nice.
Calgary.
Nice.
Yeah, Calgary was known at one time as one of the most racist cities in North America.
Really?
Yeah, they had a Holocaust denier living about 20 miles outside of Calgary. That wrote books, how the Holocaust never happened, and blah, 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 you know. That. So that's the kind of mentality.
Wow.
And I had a band there. We had the first rhythm and blues band in Calgary. And so the black population was like about four or five families. That's about all. But I hooked up with the football player by the name of Tommy Milton. Mm-hmm. He was a descendant of the people from the States, you know, that went up there during the period,
yeah.
You know, of escaping the slavery. And so Tommy was a singer, I was a guitar player, so we put a band together. And because I had another partner, he was full-blooded native, Dick Bird, he was a Sarcee native. We called ourselves the Shades.
Oh, nice.
Because we were all different,
right,
shades.
Different shades.
And we became very famous, and we got so successful that we got kicked out of Calgary.
Nice.
we got the mayor actually called us into his office, and the chief of police was there, and I guess the city attorney.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to get some kind of award, because what we did, we started a teen club. Because there was nothing for teenagers to do back then in the 50s. And so we started a club. And by starting a teen club, you get things donated to you, you know. And so the Legion Hall donated their venue, their dance hall, which was in the middle of Calgary, downtown Calgary. And we got it every Saturday night. And, oh, man, we packed that sucker.
Nice.
And we had people coming from all over Alberta, B.C., even down from the States, coming to hear the band. But we got so popular that the police, and because it was Saturday, and they closed, you know, the church lodge, you know, closed the bars at midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight.
Oh, midnight.
In Calgary.
Whoa.
It was midnight. So we got a whole bunch of rock and roll kids with nothing to do at 12 o'clock midnight.
Right.
And so they felt we were the problem. And so the mayor and they wanted us to leave town for Christmas. And that was would have been our biggest time. But we were so glad to get out of there. We never came back.
Amazing. How did Cheech and Chong come about?
Cheech, again, was in the 60s, was up in Canada dodging the draft. Like, he got drafted, and he didn't want to go, so he became a landed immigrant in Calgary.
And so did you know him in Canada, too?
No. Well, I met him there.
Oh.
But I didn't know him in Calgary. By that time, I'm 10 years older than Cheech. And so... when I got kicked out of Calgary, he was still in high school. And then when I we got discovered in British Columbia by Motown. And so I signed with Motown, or the band signed with Motown, went to Detroit 67. And then when I came back, I got fired from Motown. That's another thing. Advance I made, it was because I got fired.
Nice.
And so when I got fired from Motown, I came back to Vancouver,
yeah.
And that's when I ran into Cheech. Because when I came back to Vancouver, even though I'd been with Motown, I wasn't the best musician. I was a songwriter, but not the best musician. And I saw a theater group called The Committee in San Francisco. And I fell in love with their humor. And so then, in my mind, I wanted to do what the committee was doing. You know, they played music as well, but I ended up starting an improvisational strip joint.
Okay.
In a strip club. Because
you were in a strip club?
Well, this is Canada, okay. The first club was given to me because the guy built a building and he wanted a club in there.
Right.
And so he literally gave me a club.
Right on.
We built that club up, so that was really doing incredible business. That's when Diana Ross and Berry Gordy eventually saw the band and they hired us. You know, right on, as soon as Diana Ross saw us, she signed us.
Nice.
And our claim to fame as the Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers was a few things. Number one, our number one claim to fame was we were the ones that discovered the Jackson 5.
Oh, okay.
Jackson 5, they won a contest to perform at the Regal Theater in Chicago with Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers, my group, and Jerry Butler. And that was the lineup.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And
wow.
So the Jackson 5 came, they performed, they were so good.
Yeah.
Michael sang My Girl, and he was a little adult at the time.
Right.
He could dance, could sing, could do everything. And so Bobby told Joe Jackson, the father, and that, he says, bring the boys to Detroit, because we were in Chicago. Bring the boys to Detroit, and we'll get them signed with Motown. And so Joe said, okay. So the Jackson 5 moved to Detroit, or the kids anyway.
Right.
And stayed with Bobby for almost 2 months, 1 month for sure. And that's before Barry got around to seeing him, Barry Gordy.
Right.
And then, of course, when they saw him and they signed.
Yeah.
No, they changed the story. They changed it where Diana Ross found the Jackson 5.
Oh, I do remember hearing it. Why did they change it?
Because who was Bobby Taylor in the Vancouver? Nobody.
Oh.
Who's Diana Ross?
Yeah.
Everybody.
So
So they wanted Diana to have
that. So did they give you guys any credit at all?
Well, we did a documentary, and in the documentary, I tell the story, and in this documentary, they did the research, fact-finding, and they found out that Bobby Taylor produced the first Jackson 5 album.
Hmm.
And so that's our proof.
Oh, right on.
Because that, other than that, Bobby never produced any other album. But that was our reward for bringing Motown. Bobby got to produce their first album.
Amazing. That's amazing, man. And so how did you guys, when you got into movies, the first time that I remember becoming aware of you guys is that you were in movies and things, TV shows. And you guys was always potheads.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How did you guys become movie star potheads?
Well, that was all, again, we got fired all the time.
You're always getting fired.
Okay, so we got fired. After I started the strip club theater, and I turned the girls from strippers into actresses. And, oh, because I got fired from Motown because I had to miss a gig. Bobby had split from us. You know, that's the way Motown and those groups do. When they get a good singer, they move the singer by themselves. And so Bobby got moved. Then my job was backing up Chris Clark, another singer for Barry Gordy. And in the meantime, I had been deported from the States because I'm Canadian. And so we're in Detroit. You know, that's an everyday occurrence, you know.
Right.
You self-deport there. And so I had to get a green card to work.
Oh.
And so I was in the process of getting a green card, and I had to miss a gig in order to do a meeting. And the road manager told me, Johnny Bristow, the road manager said, if you miss a gig, I told him what I had to do, and he said, you miss a gig, you're fired.
Wow.
And so I couldn't argue with them because, you know, I was always talking to Barry Gordy, you know, never anybody else. And so sure enough, I went and did the meeting, got my green card, came back,
got fired.
Barry, so that's when I decided to go back to Vancouver, quit Motown, and just go back, work on the clubs, right. Put another group together. I didn't want to work. And when Barry Gordy found out I was fired, he pulled me up right away. You're not fired, you know, because Barry and I really had a nice connection. Because we brought him the Jackson 5. So right. I think he had a nice thing for me. But I told Barry, I said, I want to be a Barry Gordy. I don't want to work for one. You know, and he says, I understand totally.
Yeah.
So he gave me a nice severance pay, and then I moved to, by that time I had my girlfriend and our illegitimate baby, and I was a Motown musician.
Yeah,
had
right.
a wife and family in Vancouver, and a girlfriend on the road. And
wow. Amazing.
So, yeah. But I mean, that's just the way it is.
You're right about that.
We got a movie out now. It's being released. It's a Cheech and Chong's last movie, they're calling it. But it's a story of my two wives. Kind of, it's in there. My first wife was black, and
you had a black wife?
Yeah.
Wow.
And my oldest daughter, Ray Dawn Chong, very famous actress, worked with Arnold, you know, in Commando.
Really?
Yeah, she's worked with, she was a, what's it called? Quest for Fire. She was a star in Quest for Fire. Oh, yeah, she's...
So you're...
That's Ray Dawn. That's my oldest daughter.
With your black wife?
Yeah.
I mean, with your black girlfriend on the road?
Well, actually, it's a black girl... No, it was a white girlfriend on the road.
And
a black girlfriend with the first wife. I mean, the first daughter. And then I married my childhood sweetheart, another black girl, Maxine. And Maxine's claim to fame is that she was... Harvey, what's a Family Feud? Steve Harvey. She was Steve Harvey's secretary when he was on the radio.
Oh, okay.
For years.
Right.
And so Steve, when I was on Jeopardy one time, I mentioned to Steve, oh, that nice lady. Well, that's my first wife.
Really?
Yeah.
So let me just hear this. You had this one wife in Canada.
Yeah.
She was black.
Yeah.
And then you had a girlfriend on the road.
Yeah.
She was white.
Also from Canada.
And then you had a black, broke up with the first wife.
The first girlfriend.
Oh, you broke up with the first girlfriend.
Well, what happened?
What?
It was a...
Were you like a slut maker?
I got so much into the black culture that I became black.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, once you go black, you can't go back.
Well, I can't go back. I can go to court, though.
So let me get these wives straight. So you had one wife in Canada at one time.
Yeah.
And on the road, we moved to Detroit. You had a white girlfriend.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah.
And then you broke up with the first black wife in Canada.
Yeah.
And then you met another black girl.
No. I missed that one first. Okay, we'll back up a bit. I had my wife, the only woman that I really married first, although I'm married now, Maxine, was the daughter of the organ player in my first band.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we got together.
Right.
You know, and she, when I met her, she was, 14.
Oh.
And when I married her, she was 20.
Nice.
You know, yeah. And it was one of those arranged marriage where we met, we fell in love, we broke up. Because the minute I quit being a musician, she didn't want anything to do with me. And then I went on the road. And then when I was I was a musician.
Yeah.
And
how old were you then when you met Maxine?
I was 19. No,
when you met the other one, this one.
My first wife?
The one, the organ player. The one you were married to and she dumped you.
Oh, okay. I was 17.
The 14-year-old, how old were you?
She was 14, I was 17.
Nice. Nice
and
age.
And then when she turned 20, we got married.
Yeah.
Legally. Again.
You got all these wives confused.
No, here's what happened. Man, I told you I was black.
See?
See, once you're black... Once you're black, you got your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Your acquaintances.
Yeah.
Your assistants.
Yeah.
Your secretary. Your business partner.
Yeah.
The wife is just the wife.
Yes.
My wife, Maxine, very Christian lady. She played the piano in church. Father was a minister. Brother was a real good jazz musician. Her brother, other brother, ever heard of Three Dog Night?
Yes, I have heard of him.
He was a drummer.
Really?
Yeah, that's Floyd. That's another, we're royalty.
Right on, man.
See, Floyd was a drummer,
yeah.
And he was my drummer until him and the singer got in a fight, and then he quit and became Three Dog Night. Well, what I did,
I totally remember that group.
I quit, met Cheech, and became Cheech and Chong.
Right.
In the meantime... I got married to Maxine, and then I met my now wife. She was next door, a next door neighbor.
Is she black?
Hmm?
Is she black?
No. Nope.
The one you with now?
No.
Nope. She's
I got
white?
I got so black, I married a white woman. I use that all the time, man. I became Charles Barkley, you know?
And so, what did it feel like, or does it feel like, to be black?
The women love it.
Yeah.
Oh. I learned. See, the thing is, most guitar players, white guys, you see them all the time. You know, right. They're the ones that do the drugs and get high, and they get girls because girls get them.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
But the brother, see, the brother that taught me, Tommy Milton, he passed away, but Tommy Milton, he just had the. Some of those pro athletes, they got a special room for the girlfriends that show up, and they got to keep them apart from where the wives are,
What a mess.
Well, because think about it. The athletes are the most gorgeous, well-built creatures on the planet.
Yeah.
Not only they can do amazing things with the sports, but they look amazing.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous. Now, come on.
Yeah.
I
understand.
And what is their job as a man on this planet?
That's right.
To populate.
To make babies.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why we're so good looking when we're young.
Yeah.
Because when we get older, we're not supposed to make babies anymore.
That's right.
And that's why we get that look.
Are you still black?
Am I still black? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're still black.
Oh, you never go
back. So do you think and feel black, or you just know how to be a black person in action?
Well, you know what I learned? Because I got into the culture.
Right.
You see. You don't get into the culture easy, in fact, most of the white guys, they don't.
Right.
They don't make the culture. They're the white boy, that's okay. Yeah, it's him. But with me, see, I'm mixed. I'm half Chinese, so I'm not white.
You look Chinese, but you don't look Chinese.
Yeah, I know. The part that's Chinese doesn't show.
Have you ever dated a Chinese woman?
Oh, yeah.
You dated a Chinese woman?
Not date. Back in the day.
Been with.
I knew them.
Yeah.
We were friends.
Right.
I don't think I ever went on a date.
Right.
No, the only date I were. See, I'm a musician. If you want to date me, you got to take me out.
Yeah, that's right.
The musician.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'll pay. That's what you hear all the time when you're a musician. Because we're poor-ass musicians, man.
Yeah.
Motown, man, I was, Barry's making all that money, and we're getting paid, here's your little bit, But that's okay.
Yeah. So which culture of women are difficult to deal with? Black, Chinese, white, or which is most difficult?
For me?
When you dealt with the different races of women, which was most difficult to handle? Or, want to be crazy?
Well, it's all an individual thing. It's very individual. My oldest daughter's mother, gorgeous lady, but she was a rebound because my first girlfriend put me down. And you know why she put me down?
Why?
Because I quit being a musician.
Yeah, that's
see,
right.
I was a musician in Vancouver.
Right.
Now I'm attractive. But come back, and I got a job as a truck driver.
Oh, that would do it.
I had a steady job.
No ego
I had
in
everything,
that. Yeah.
But as a truck driver.
Yeah.
And it was like, and so.
Were you hurt by that?
Oh, yeah.
It broke your heart?
Well, it broke my heart. Then I met this other tall, gorgeous lady, and we had a telephone romance. Just on the phone.
Right.
And she was so into jazz. That was my church, the jazz music, because I believe that's the ultimate church.
Yeah.
Just like I believe golf is the ultimate sacred game on the planet.
Right on.
And so
which race of women were most difficult to deal with?
Well, if you're honest, and you have to be.
Yeah.
Where I was, I was the most difficult one to deal with. The women, they love me. they love me unconditionally, and they still love me unconditionally. And I support.
You know,
I got very I'm very generous with my family. You know.
How many children you have?
I got five. I got. Let's see. We'll start with Ray Dawn, Robbie, Precious.
Precious.
Three daughters with three different women.
Whoa! So you made all girls first?
Ray Dawn, Robbie, and Precious. And Precious is my white.
Precious sound like such a black name.
I know. It was a black name.
And the wife was black too?
Huh?
This
oh, no, that's my white one.
That's your white one?
Yeah.
So you had a white baby with a white woman, and you named the baby Precious?
Precious, yeah. Now, don't forget, at the time, she went on the road with me. Shelby is her name. That's my wife now. She went on the road with me. She was pregnant. And we both looked at each other, and it was an accident. We'd taken acid, LSD, and somehow we weren't supposed to, do the thing, because she had not ever planned to be with me.
Yeah.
Because we were neighbors, and I could get her in the club. We fell in love, but we were friends first. And we still are best friends. And she's probably the smartest. She's responsible for Cheech and Chong. She's responsible for us even getting, because Bobby Taylor, Bobby Taylor was like a ghetto rat, And first chance he got, he tried to steal the drums and leave. He did all that shit. And then we fired him, and then he wanted to come back. And I wasn't going to have him back until my girlfriend, Shelby, at the time, she said, yes, bring him back. And I said, yeah, but he stole. She goes, so what? He sings so good. He brings the people in.
Right.
Never mind that. So she talked us into that. And then when I met Cheech, she understood what I was trying to do. And so she encouraged that.
Right on.
And so she's been my brains. We just had a meeting at the house about our all the products we got, thanks to her.
Right on.
Yeah, because we're on the road, we were doing stand-up, and I'm signing these bongs, and then she said, why don't we have our own bongs to sign?
Right on.
And so we started a bong company, and that was her.
Nice.
And so she Shelby, and then, like I said, she's part of the show, and then she's helped me write, and she designs all the clothes.
Does she obey you?
No. Are you kidding? In fact, if I want anything done, I got to play that trick. That maybe I don't want that. No, I know she's great, but they put her in the movie.
Oh God!
And when I say they, I'm talking about my daughter and Dave that did the movie, but they didn't show her in a good light, Shelby. They showed her kind of in a sort of like a. But it made the movie, so I can't complain there. But it made a lot of uncomfortable feelings.
So you have three, you stopped at three kids, but you have how many, five?
Five kids.
So you got.
No, I got a grandson that has kids. And so that's Ray Dawn's oldest boy, or only boy.
But you have Morgan. How many? Yes, sir. How many you have?
I got five.
And so you have three girls and two boys?
Yep.
And so you made girls first?
Yep.
But normally men made boys first.
Yep.
What happened?
Well, I'm not normal.
Man. And so, and then you have any grandchildren?
Yeah, I got great-grandchildren.
Oh, really?
I got, five great-grandchildren? I got Kira's the latest one, Kira, Kelly, Camilla. Those two are kind of adopted, but they're still mine. Then I got Gus and Jack. So I got five.
Right on. And so how did you manage, you're close to all your children?
Yeah.
How did you manage to work that out? Because normally the wives won't let the children come and be with the father or be around other wives, the money, huh? That'll do it.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
I need, you got.
Yeah.
You know? And not only that, but, there's squabbles, you know, who's closest to who in the family, but
yeah,
but I'm old school, and I'm old, I'm getting deaf and blind, and rather than fight it, I kind of enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, nice.
I like the status, and you know what I found out with kids, it's a Chinese thing too, you know. You want kids to love you, help them, you know, help them. Yeah. And if it's financially, always be there for them. I mean, you know, they don't need to learn a lesson. All the lesson they really need to know is that when they need something, grandpa's there, grandpa's, you know, he's good for it.
So your mother was Chinese?
No, my father was Chinese.
And then your mother was white?
My mother, I wish, no, my mother was Scotch, Irish, and Native American.
Wow.
20% Native American. That was a big secret. Now, she married a Chinaman. That was no big deal.
Right.
Well, because it was out in the open. You can't hide that.
Right.
You know, he was 5'3". She was like 5'8". So they had that discrepancy. But my mother was incredibly beautiful, and my father was super handsome. You know, short, but oh man, you know. But my mother had TB, and so I didn't see her. She was in a sanitarium all the early part of my life.
Oh, okay.
And so I was kind of raised in an orphanage with my brother and my sister, which I never saw in the orphanage. So I was like a only child until I turned about 6 years old, when she got out of the hospital and we got a little reservation kind of house in Calgary, you know, but it was our home. It was our first home.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
And so are you close to your brother and sisters?
Well, my brother passed away. My sister's still here. Not close to my sister at all, but it's, you know, 4 years difference, right. But miles when it comes to culture.
And, yeah. Amazing.
Especially when I started dating black girls, you know, my family was little. My dad, first time I brought home a black girl, I was a dancer, you know, Lindy right. Hop. And so that's how I connected with them. I got in through the dancing. And so I brought my dancing partner home one time, and I didn't think about nothing about it. My dad takes me in the other room and goes, "Son, she's black." And I said, "Dad, you're Chinese."
Nice. Oh, you're like, what the? Yeah, that's amazing.
Of course, he ended up loving Maxine.
I know.
Almost to a fault when I ended up, finally got myself the white lady, they weren't happy at all.
Really?
No. They had turned black too, you know.
And so what made you go white after all the years and then finally end up going white?
Why? Love. You know, I fell in love with this girl. When I first saw her, I fell in love with her. Saw her, but she was young and a teenager and, you know. But every time I saw her, there's a connection.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we go way back. Right her on. And I go way back into other lives.
So how old are you now?
86.
86?
Yeah.
86?
86.
Did you come in here on a stretcher or a wheelchair?
Actually, I was driven here by my son, who has a new Tesla.
Yeah.
No, I don't drive anymore.
Nice. And so, 86.
Yeah.
Any regrets?
Oh, yeah. But really? I can't remember them.
Nice. That's right.
No, I don't. No. I look at me. In fact, people say to me, you know, because now, when I get asked to do, you know, to talk, you know, a lot of times they remember my comedic days, you know.
Right.
But I'm too old to do TNA jokes, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so now, if I'm going to talk, I like to leave something of substance. You know, it's like someone begging. You know, you don't want to just give them emptiness, you know.
Right.
Give them something they can use. And so I always, I went very spiritual because in my travels, and I've learned the secret. See, it started off with jazz. And I had a jazz player one time give me a book. It was called The Third Eye. And it was by T. Lobsang Rampa. But it got me into spirituality. And then, like I said, my first wife was the church, Baptist,
a Christian,
all the way.
The first wife, Christian, right?
Yeah, total Christian. And then, but I started studying spiritual books, Course in Miracles, and there's all these, I don't know if you've heard of Joel Goldsmith. No. Joel is a Jew, a New York Jew that discovered Christianity through Mary Baker Eddy, which was a Church of it's a church anyway.
Oh, okay. It's not Scientology?
No, definitely not Scientology.
Oh, okay. No. So are you a Christian now?
I believe in Christian writings, but I've simplified everything because of people asking and so on, but I've simplified it to the Lord's Prayer. Everything you need to know is in the Lord's Prayer.
Right. It is.
But you have to dissect every word and see how powerful that word is.
Absolutely.
Because when they say, in the beginning was the word, it was the word, the meaning of the word, that was the beginning.
Yeah.
And the beginning only means the beginning of knowledge. Because we live in an eternal state. We've always been here, in one form or another. But it's the mind that evolves to the point where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God. You see, that Word is so powerful. Hallowed be thy name. That's in the prayer.
Yeah.
Now that word, hallowed be thy name, is the beginning and the end and everything right there. Because what it's telling you and telling us is that Word has so much power used properly.
Yeah.
With faith. If you have the ability to have the faith to believe in God, because if you read further, everything good on earth was made by God.
Yeah.
And everything that was not made by God was not made.
Amazing.
And so everything on earth is good because it's made by God. Now, the thing that's not made by God is in our imagination.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have, in other words, everything has an opposite in order to exist. Like, you can't have up without down.
Yeah.
You can't have right or right without left, you see. If you got right, you just got right.
Yeah.
But the opposite is the opposite. So you need opposites. Now, what gives us power? And in the Bible it says, what is power? The belief in God is light. No, let's go physical with light. What is light? Light is the meetings of two immovable forces, negative, positive. When negative, positive, again, made by God, when they meet, because the positive can never change and always be positive, negative can only be negative. So when they clash, they create power. They create light.
Amazing. So let me ask, because of time, and it's very, very interesting what you're saying, do you have perfect peace? Do you have perfect peace?
No, no one does.
You don't have perfect peace?
No one does.
And why don't you have it? Because you know God, you understand how the mind works, and Christ came that we may have perfect peace.
We're trying to keep our balance.
Meaning what?
Meaning we got gravity. See, we live in a physical world.
Right.
And you can't get away from that.
Right. Yeah. But you're not your physical body, though.
No, because...
So why don't you have perfect peace?
Because I'm here to learn. And you only learn from your mistakes. And so I'm here to make mistakes.
And so you believe that you have to make mistakes in order to learn? If you didn't make mistakes, you would not learn?
That's right.
But God doesn't want us to make mistakes. He made it so we wouldn't make mistakes. That's why he gave us the light.
He gave us the light so
that we would not make mistakes.
Well, theoretically, but the idea, this is how, you need evil. If you don't have evil, you don't have good. You need the opposite. So there will always be evil, and there will always be good, because they're in the physical world.
Right.
You see. But now, let's talk about what's the opposite of everything.
But evil.
What is the opposite of everything?
I don't know what you mean. Go ahead.
What is the opposite of everything?
Is what?
Nothing.
Okay.
So, if this physical world is everything, what's the opposite? Nothing. That's your spiritual world.
But I understand some of what you're saying, but what I don't quite understand, do you plan to have perfect peace before you die? Or are you planning to die with not perfect peace?
You don't want to plan.
No, what I mean by that, for communication purposes, do you hope to have perfect peace one day?
Well, see... First of all, what is peace?
Do you think that's possible to have perfect peace?
Well, I guess you can have... If something stops for a moment, that's peace.
Right.
But that's only for a moment.
But that's the whole purpose of the death of the ego. You want to die from that completely. And once you die from it completely, it no longer has any... It doesn't... have any control over you, you no longer identify with it, then you can have perfect peace.
What does Jesus say to the cripple?
Do you get up and walk me?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, that cripple, because he knows he's crippled,
right.
He needs that staff in order to keep him upright. At least he thinks he does.
Right, he thought he did.
But when Jesus comes along and cures him, and says, "Now you don't need that staff anymore," okay.
Get up and walk, right?
But let me ask you this. But that staff shows how we communicate with the physical world we live in. We live in a physical world. We don't live, we can, imagination, we can visit the spiritual world in our imagination, in our mind. But physically, we're in a physical world.
But isn't God a perfect peace?
No.
God is not a peace?
No.
Really?
No.
What is he of?
God is everything.
I know, but he's also peace.
He's also peace.
Right.
But in order to have peace, you have to have chaos.
So
God is everything. That's why when we say God is everything... And you look around at this is what I did when I was a child. I was taught, you know, God's everywhere. So I walked outside. That I remember, nine years old or something, and I'm looking around. Okay, God, where are you? If you're here, where are you? And all of a sudden I looked around, and it was at night, and the stars and everything come out. And it was like God saying, do you need more proof?
So let me ask you this. Do you have fear?
Yeah.
You have fear.
Yeah, but not permanent. Not permanent.
But you do have it.
I have the fear of what I think is real, you know.
Right.
Like sometimes fear of losing my love, the love of, say, my wife, you know, because I'm getting older. And the fear is that eventually I won't be here, and then she's going to find someone else.
Oh.
And so I got that jealous fear.
So you don't have perfect peace, and you have fear. You have doubt?
Sometimes.
And so what is the purpose of being with God or knowing God, if you... Oh, let me ask this. What does it feel like not to have perfect peace for you? What is that like?
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. And so why don't you go to perfect peace?
Because, again, it's like trying
because
to learn...
Because it's possible.
No, but it's trying to learn when you're sleeping, you know? That's why a lot of times we can't sleep. Why? Because we're getting messages. You know, we're getting our thing. You only sleep in order to replenish the cells in your body, you know, because you can't have them going all the time. They need rest in order to build.
Do you create your own thoughts?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
With my brain.
How do you do it, though?
With God?
No, tell me the steps of how you create your own thoughts.
Create my own thoughts?
Yes.
I listen. See, a lot of people pray. I listen. Because God has been talking to me since I can remember. Since I was very young.
And so if you create your own thoughts, why do you create thoughts that will give you fear? Or would give you doubt, or would give you... Why do you create
can't
those thoughts?
Because you can't help it. When you're in love, you can't help it.
But your fear is not just being in love. You fear other things, too.
Oh, right? Yeah, fear for your kids, fear for all sorts of things. I mean, those kind of fears, you
Excuse
know?
Me. But God did not...
What I don't fear is being mocked or being teased or being... See, when right. I was a little kid, I grew up and I experienced prejudice.
Because you were black, that's why.
Well, because I was black, or because I was brown, or because I was short, because I was poor, because I looked Native, all sorts of weird little things. But it was only these weird groups of people that were fearful of me.
Right.
You know, I knew myself and all my friends and everybody else that knew me, you know, because... We need each other. That's the whole point.
I got to ask you this. And sure. I mean, we can go on all day and all night, but I got to ask, why don't you let go of thoughts so that you can have perfect peace?
I don't want perfect peace.
You don't want it.
No.
Oh, that's different than you don't want it.
No.
You won't get it. Okay, you like your hell.
Turn the music up.
You love your hell.
Well, you learn a lot more in hell than you do in heaven, you know.
And so you...
There's a lot more going on in hell than
what?
There is in heaven.
Amazing. And so you love your hell.
Yeah, I do. I love
you
my...
love your misery.
Yeah.
So then that's why you don't have peace. You love your hell.
That's right.
Really?
That's right, yeah.
Nice, okay.
Well, what's that saying? You can rest when you die. You know?
I wouldn't take that risk if I were you, but okay. But let me ask. So... When you and
Cheek
were doing the pot show,
yeah.
Were you really high, or were you just acting like you were high?
Sometimes we were high. Usually not.
Right.
Usually just acting.
Right.
Yeah. If you get too high, you can't.
No.
Because being stupid takes timing, you know?
That's right.
If you come in there too soon. Oh, let me tell you, we were in New York first time,
yeah.
And we killed in L.A., but we never worked in New York. Well, New York is like a test because they're so far ahead of everybody.
Right.
So you go on stage, and what they do, they test you. They won't laugh at anything to see make you uncomfortable, to see how you're going to react.
Yeah, they're rough over there.
And so when they did it, Cheech and I, we were fighting before we got off the stage. And it was all about cocaine.
Oh.
We did a shot of cocaine. It ruined our show. And the good thing about it, we quit. We never did cocaine after that.
Nice.
Nothing.
Right on.
We were funnier without it.
And so you aren't high necessarily when you're acting. Do you smoke pot now?
Yep.
How long have you been smoking pot?
Oh, I'm 86. I started when I was 17.
Really?
Yep.
So you've been smoking pot since 17?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And why?
Because it's the healthiest thing. It's the healthiest high on the planet.
Oh, it is.
In fact, you want to communicate with God. God talks to us in so many different ways, and it's even in the Bible. You know, Moses talked to God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush.
Right.
That's the burning bush.
So that was pot?
That was the joint.
Oh, no wonder.
Was it bush? and Moses died. And what did Moses do?
Moses was high?
Moses was as high as can be, man. Moses was all man. See, when people say to me, who would you like to come back as, or who would you... Moses, that's my guy.
Really?
Because Moses was a real man. Moses, I mean, he wasn't just a spiritual entity. Moses was a guy.
So you're saying that the burning bush was pot?
Yep.
And so Moses went up into the mountain to talk with God, and he got high.
That's right. And he came down with the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Think about that.
But he didn't get into heaven.
No, he's physical. He was needed here.
Why did God let him into the promised land?
Why did he?
Why didn't he let him in?
Because he didn't need to be there.
Why not?
He was already in the promised land.
You were high?
When you're talking to God, you're in the promised land.
Amazing. So what is it like for you at 80? What, 87?
86.
86. Are you high now?
Probably. you get to an age where you can't tell. I swear to God, I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and have I got COVID? No. Oh, right. I took a gummy. That's right. Okay. Then go back to sleep.
What? And so you really believe Moses went up to the mountain, met
Talked
with God,
the
and the,
bush,
the burning bush was pot.
That's right.
And he got high.
That's right.
Where'd you get that from?
The ground, where we get our pot from.
No, behind you, where did you get that from that Moses was high up in the mountain?
God.
God told you that?
God told me.
God told you that?
Yeah.
And God told you that?
I'll tell you, I was on stage. It was it was a weird stage, too. And my son, he heard me say it. Because I was, that's the way comedians work, artists work. That's we get the inspiration. Inspiration is just God talking, telling you what to do.
But if you have God, why do you need pot?
Because that's our that's how we communicate.
Oh, pot. But pot tends to lower your consciousness, and
no,
it makes you
no.
think that you're talking to God.
Oh, no, that's what you think. Yeah. I mean, that's what other people, when they're looking at you, you know, I bet he's thinking, you know what I mean? They look at you, they don't know. See, you can't get inside people's head, you see. See, and that's with me, because my relationship with God goes right to my very beginning. You know what? When I was a baby, when my mother had me in the Edmonton General Hospital, guess where they moved? They moved to a homestead, and we lived in a converted chicken coop, otherwise known as a manger.
Whoa. I remember chicken coops down in Alabama.
Yeah.
And so what would happen if you didn't smoke, you think? If you didn't get high again, what do you think would happen to you?
Well, I went through that when I went to prison.
You went to prison?
Yeah, I was in prison for 9 months.
Really?
And I quit smoking a year before I went, and I stayed clean until a year after I got out. And so it was 3 years.
How was that for you?
I spent a year. It was great. It was great. But it was also great when I got to smoke the first joint again, man. It was like, wow, this is so good. But, oh, man. Yeah, but pot's different. As you get older, it's your relationship. It's not as abrupt as it used to be, you know, because, you know, I know the feeling in the body. And a lot of times, especially when you're communicating with God, when you hear God all the time like I do, it's irrelevant whether or not I'm high, you know.
Oh.
Because his words are so powerful.
Really? You know? But, so you're in prison for 3 years, you said?
No, I did 9 months.
Oh, 9 months.
But okay. I was on pretrial probation,
uh-huh.
And they drug test you all the time.
Oh.
See, I wanted to show the world, and I did, that pot is your choice. And if you don't want to smoke it, don't smoke it. There's no addictive quality. It's only mental quality.
You want to legalize pot, right?
It's legal, yeah, for sure.
But you want it legal all
Everywhere,
over the world,
yeah.
all over the country?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? And why do you want it to be legal all over the country?
More to stop the DUIs.
Oh.
Yeah. You know.
Do you want other drugs to be legal too, or just pot?
Well, I only know about pot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know about the other drugs.
And you smoke pot every day?
I try to, yeah.
Really? So let me ask, because of time, they're letting me know here. Do you think men should play in women's sports?
Men should play in women's sports?
Right.
Well, they do. Sometimes.
I know they do now.
Oh, the transgender?
Yeah, should they play in women's sports?
I don't see why not.
No.
Put an asterisk, little penis beside it, you know? Beside the, depending on who you are, you know?
Yeah. And should women be allowed to play in men's sport?
Sure. Why not?
And do you support abortion?
Oh, absolutely.
And why? Why
it's
do you?
It's a medical procedure. It's so, like saying, do you want your tooth out or not, you know? Because that's what an abortion is, an extraction, you know?
So,
do you want your teeth? Do I believe in abortion for a tooth? And I believe it for a fetus, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so would you ever agree with a woman if she wanted to abort your child? Would you say yes to that?
Absolutely.
Oh, you would?
I've said yes.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Two times?
Maybe more.
Really?
That I know of. I don't know. I do know one thing,
right.
Especially in Vancouver, when a girl would get in trouble with someone else, they knew that I was good for it. And so they'd come in and try to get in trouble with me.
Really?
And then tell me the bad news. But either way, I'd say, I'm going to help however I can do it.
Right.
And if a woman needs an abortion, I can help in any way, I'm there. It's a medical procedure.
So you think killing a baby in the womb is just a medical procedure?
We are eternal beings, right? Are we not?
Right.
Okay, so that baby, when like they said, every ounce of water that was here during the Big Bang is still here.
Amazing.
So okay, now think about this. We're 90% water. So as humans, 90% of us has always been here, the water. So why not the other 10%? the earth, everything else.
Amazing.
We are eternal beings. We cannot be killed.
And so let me ask this. So you're black. We all agree you're black. You've been black for a long time.
Yep.
What's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong with them?
With everybody.
No, with the blacks. What's wrong with the blacks?
It's not just black. Black is just means that you have more sun than everybody else. That's all.
Right.
That's all black is. It's a skin tone. You know?
It's just a color.
It's a color. That's all.
Oh, okay.
That's all. So, I mean, like they say, by the way, they used to say, you know, natives, redskins. Do you know the real reason they called them redskins?
Why?
The real reason?
Yeah.
There was a bounty on them. And guess what happens when you skin a human being?
They turn red.
That's right.
Amazing.
That's why they said redskins.
That's amazing. Are you voting for the Great White Hope?
Who's that? Who Trump?
Yes. You know who the Great White Hope is.
I love Trump because he's done things that no one else could do.
Yeah.
He did.
Absolutely.
And you know what it is?
What's that?
You got Joe Biden elected.
See, yeah.
No one else could have done that.
That's right.
Joe Biden then couldn't do it.
And so are you voting for him?
Huh?
You go to vote for him?
For Trump?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
I thought you loved him because of what he'd done.
It's a joke.
Right. I know that was a joke.
It's a joke. Trump, if you couldn't get any more retarded if you tried. You know how he makes fun of retards? He doesn't have to do this. He just has to appear on stage, you know, with his mega hat and his people. You know?
So at 86, you don't recognize the strength of Donald Trump?
I recognize the devil.
The what?
The devil.
In Joe Biden or Trump?
No, Trump.
Are you going to vote for that that woman? What's her name?
Kamala? Camilla?
Camilla Harris. Are you going to vote for her?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's that black in you.
You know it.
That's the black.
Hey, listen, if you want something done, who would you give it to? Camilla or Trump?
Trump.
Oh, you wanted to be fucked up.
The great white hope.
Okay,
the great white hope. So listen, I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
A joke.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
No.
Do we need more white babies?
Yes.
If America is not the best country on this side of heaven, what country is the best country? Which country is the best country other than America?
Probably Greenland.
Greenland? Oh, okay. So I asked, do we need more white babies?
What did I say, yes?
Oh, okay. Pick one, Jimi Hendrix or the Beatles?
Oh, the Beatles.
Should we give the blacks reparations?
If they can, if, like an Easter egg hunt, yeah. Make them work for it.
Do you trust the government?
Absolutely.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Should America have free health care?
Yes.
Is it wrong for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
Is it wrong for a
black man to love the Confederate flag?
Oh, you mean to love a slave owner?
The flag.
Well, that's a slave owner. Is that what they're talking about? I met a lot of people that they loved their slave owner. They didn't have to think. They had everything given to them. So.
Amazing. What's the longest have you gone without smoking pot?
Would I say 4 years?
4 years?
Yeah.
And do you love white people?
Depends.
Do you love white people?
It depends on the white people.
Do you love white people?
Yeah, I love everybody.
Do you love white people?
Do I love what? Is it?
White people.
White people. Do I love white people? I get a feeling I was asked that before. Yeah, I love everybody.
Do you love white people?
Yeah. Or no. What am I supposed to say?
True or false, abortion is worse than slavery.
Abortion is worse than slavery? False.
Have you ever been high on the hog?
High on the hog? Yeah.
Is the earth flat or round?
It depends on what you smoke, you know. I'll tell you, sometimes it's flat.
Oh, God. Did you have fun?
A lot of fun.
I had an amazing time. Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for taking on the hot seat, and I enjoyed talking to you.
Okay.
Let me ask you one quick question.
Sure.
You're 86 now. How does the world look to you now as it did, as opposed to what it looked to you when you were younger?
It's kind of, right now, the world's kind of out of focus. You know, because I got bad eyes. But I've got faith. See, if you got faith, you're just in the middle of a great drama or a great play. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because that's what we are right now. I mean, I never expected we did what we did.
Yeah.
I love what we did.
Yeah.
And I love that whole attitude. We couldn't live in a more perfect environment. We couldn't invent one.
Amazing.
when people want to go, like when Elon Musk talks about go live on Mars, you know what I feel? I tell him, you go live on Mars. I ain't moving out of L.A.
Amazing. Tell the folks how to get your whatever you want to promote.
Oh, no, just Cheech and Chong and go for it, man. It's all over the place.
Right on.
I got CBDs and gummies and pot and T-shirts. And the only thing I don't have is Tampax. And I'm working on that.
You know? Right on. Well, I really enjoy you coming on. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, my brother.
And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, and go to thefallenstate.tv/donate or click in the description link and go to Locals to support us. I appreciate it. Check out the merch and let me hear from you. If you want other guests on the show, let us know about it by contacting producer at thefallenstate.tv. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. And thank you again, man. I can't believe I had the opportunity to talk to you. I appreciate that.
You never know.
I know, man. What the? Thank you. Amazing.